From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar. The so-called Trump dossier was back in the news this week as allegations came out that Hillary Clinton's campaign and/or the DNC helped fund its preparation and dissemination. For more on that, we spoke with Mark Sloboda, senior lecturer in international relations at Moscow State University, via Skype from Moscow Friday.
One of the big stories this week has been a report that surfaced in the Washington Post now with supposedly credible sourcing. I don't consider that the Washington Post in general has credible sourcing. I mean, they've quoted anonymous current or former deep state officials for so many stories in the past year that these guys must have like a bunk bed at the Washington Post.
Well, they do have an accountant there because apparently they fund the Washington. Well, they fund Bezos. So yeah.
So, but this particular story has been known wherever it broke first in the Washington Post. It's been known for a long time, right? They've just now got some sources with the FBI confirming it. But this is we've discussed this before. I think this is, you know, it has long been generally known that this dodgy dossier, this opposition research. That was collected together by a former foreign spook, a former British foreign agent who worked the Russia desk and is now basically a freelance spook for hire. He was hired to do opposition research on Trump and to link him in with Russia. And this is what this opposition research is. Former British agent's name is Christopher Steele, and he was hired by a shadowy opposition research company in the U.S. called Fusion GPS. Now, it has long been known that this opposition research was first funded by a Republican, an unknown Republican, during the Republican primary. All right, standard to do opposition research on your opponents like Trump, and it's not like there's not plenty of dirt on Trump lying around out there.
On TV, even, because the guy spent half his life in the media, so there's plenty of dirt just, you know, on video.
Every time he opens his mouth.
Right, okay.
But this goes a step further, because this is, violating a whole lot of the meddling and collusion accusations, that have been come up so much as a result of this campaign and election. It hired a foreign spook to do opposition research. So this was being compiled, by Fusion GPS, by this Christopher Steele, who, by the way, cannot visit Russia himself. He's long been persona non grata from his time with the British intelligence in Russia. He's not allowed in the country. So he himself never met or spoke with anyone in Russia, at least. And so that calls into question all of his sourcing and so on.
Right. It sounds like a Syrian observatory that's in London.
And someone who has an axe to grind, certainly.
Right.
As the Republican primary ended, and to everyone's surprise, including mine, and I think probably yours, Trump won the Republican primary, and this opposition research was offered to the DNC, and we now know via this Washington Post report that the DNC and the Hillary Clinton campaign picked up the funding. They hired. Continued to hire Fusion GPS and this Christopher Steele to continue doing this opposition research. Now, the first thing that this raises on just the most basic legal level, all kinds of Federal Election Commission violations. Watchdogs have already fired reports, complaints with the FEC calling for an investigation, because neither the DNC nor the Clinton campaign filed any paperwork regarding the payments for this opposition research, not to mention, you know, the possible issues with it, you know, literally being a foreign spook who they were relying on. So that, you know, that's the first question. And Clinton has already tried to distance herself from this by publicly saying, oh, she never knew about it. It was just someone in the DNC or someone in her campaign, this lawyer, Mark Elias, for Perkins Coie, who was hired by them to hire Fusion GPS, which hired Christopher Steele, all these layers of isolation here, middlemen removed. She's saying she didn't know about it until it was released to the public. Now that's pretty much, you know, if you believe that, you know, then I've got a bridge I want to sell you Brooklyn, because every media organization in the U.S. had a copy of this dossier already, and no one released it for months, for over 6 or 7 months, because it was so obviously fake. It was so obviously tabloid dirt that no media organization released it up until December, January timeline, when BuzzFeed, you know, better known for cat listicles and other things, was the first to release it. And then the rest of the media went along with it. And then it started getting, you know, involved as this Trump-Russia collusion allegation started coming out. This was the big excitement.
And this is it sort of got sanctified by, okay, here's this pile of garbage we gave to all the media. Oh, we're going to give it to Intel and let one of them leak it to media. Well, suddenly it came from, you know, deep Intel sources, and now it's got some legitimacy.
Okay, so this was actively, despite having been done for the DNC and the Clinton campaign, they paid for it. This was being trotted around to every media organization. It was also being trotted around, evidently, to every politician in Washington. John McCain was given a copy months before and was running around Washington with it, trying to get the FBI to take it seriously, to push it. The FBI had it. Everyone had it, evidently, except for, you know, the Clinton campaign had it. But everyone saw it except for Hillary Clinton, I guess. You know, but this kind of denial is expected to try to remove herself from the legal liability. Finally, there is a true piece of election violations with evidence here, and she's running running scared from it, which is understandable. But this was being pushed all over the place. This was being peddled not only by Steele himself, right, but by the British government, the current British government at the highest levels. A British ambassador evidently handed a copy off to McCain and possibly to the FBI. And you know, the reports in the British media are that the British government greenlighted a meeting between Steele and the FBI to discuss it. You know, they greenlighted the FBI accepting this information. So it's basically got their stamp of approval on it.
Now, is this meddling?
Is that meddling? I don't know.
And then with McCain, is that collusion?
Yeah, it's certainly greater evidence of, you know, with both Britain and also with this Ukraine Andrea Chalupa thing. There's far more real evidence of collusion and meddling there than there is with the hapless, totally incompetent Trump team. This dossier is so obviously fake. It's so obviously, just scandalous rumors. I mean, the big exciting thing in it is this absolutely tabloidish scandal that Trump had to go to Russia to a hotel room to get a golden shower from prostitutes.
Here's the thing. And
the KGB has a video of it and so on. The few pieces of information in this dossier that could be verified, you know, that journalists have taken a look at, have been proven false. Like accusations that one of Trump's lawyers met with Russian agents in Prague when the passport records clearly indicate, as he insists, that a Trump lawyer has never been in Prague. Right. So, I mean, those are the most obvious, basic, verifiable details, things that journalists could start to look at to find out if there's any credibility in this document whatsoever, with all these anonymous sources and all this slander and incredible conspiracy theory accusations within. But the most basic details of this document are false, demonstrably false. So if you read the thing, it reads horrible. What it reminds me of, what I find the language that was used in the writing of it, both the choice of words, the choice of colorful adjectives, and some of the broken English involved. It sounds like large parts of it to me was written by the Maidan Ukrainian regime's SBU, their intelligence services. That's what it reads like to me there. And I would not be surprised if some of these sources supposedly end up being sourced to the SBU there, because it just sounds like a lot of what I have heard here in Russia.
And then the editing and tweaking, I think, looks to me a lot. I'm almost exactly the kind of language that they used when they were doing this stuff to Dr. King with the COINTELPRO stuff. I mean, the whole kind of framing of it and everything, and it seems I'm surprised they haven't, and maybe they did, sent Trump a letter saying you should kill yourself.
Yeah, there's such a long history of this, not only, with Trump. And again, it's not like there's not enough dirt out there on Trump,
right,
enough, sexual harassment, that is perfectly evident and so on that could legitimately be pursued. But, that's not as sexy and delegitimizing as this whole Russia collusion angle that Clinton and the DNC have used to explain away their embarrassing loss to Trump in the election, particularly in blue working collar states.
There's also a problem with doing something besides, whatever they choose to use as a weapon against Trump, they have to live with after they take him out. And so if they take him out for dog whistling racist stuff, for example, what do they do? Replace him with Pence or with Ryan, for example? Or if they dog whistle, take him out over white supremacist policy in Africa, well, who do they replace him with? Somebody that helped to develop AFRICOM. In other words, the only thing that they could take him out with leaves them in a position to get more aggressive with Russia.
Yeah, well, they're certainly not going to take him out with the FBI investigation or anything like that. This FBI investigation, by the way, Mueller has, or his team anyway, has spoken privately with this Christopher Steele, whom has tried, and succeeded at completely avoiding the press. He will not appear in public. He will not speak about this. There's no interviews out there you can find with him. He's gone dark, but he resurfaced enough, according to media reports, to speak with the FBI investigation and then disappear back into the shadowy room that he has slung this mud from.
You can't confront your accuser within this
case. You can't. I mean, and he certainly isn't speaking in any way, shape, or form about it himself. He threw this mud out there, and then he retreats back into the shadows and doesn't want to talk about it. The CEOs, owners of Fusion GPS, this opposition research shadowy firm that hired Christopher Steele, and then they themselves were hired by a Clinton and DNC lawyer. They were subpoenaed by the congressional and Senate investigations into Russiagate. You know, there are multiple investigations going here, sometimes working at cross purposes with each other. There's the FBI investigation. There's multiple congressional investigations. There's multiple Senate investigations. So this is going all over the place. They have been subpoenaed to testify before the congressional investigations, the heads of Fusion GPS, this opposition research company, and they pleaded the fifth. They're the first people in all of this Russiagate scandal that we know of to plead the fifth against self-incrimination, which wow. raises a whole lot of questions that, you know, of what, you know, is actually involved in going on there. So we won't be hearing, you know, publicly from them, certainly, unfortunately.
Not anytime soon.
But it goes further than the Clinton and the DNC, right? That raises all kinds of FEC questions, collusion questions, you know, their association with this complete piece of garbage that. It seems that eventually the FBI took on board and started to take seriously, and was even this dossier was included in the appendix to reports that were presented to Donald Trump, you know, supposedly as proof that there was some kind of a Russian meddling in the election that got him elected. Right. So this is probably why he hasn't taken a whole lot of this very seriously, if he, you know, knows that, you know, these accusations against him are part of it, and then, you know, and it turns out as it seems likely that there's no truth to them. Right. It helps understand, you know, his reaction to all of this.
Right.
But it goes further than the Clinton and DNC, because CNN has a report out this week. Again, they reported it. It's not being talked about at all. FBI reimbursed some expenses of dossier author.
Yeah.
So Obama's FBI eventually picked up on this last November. After Trump had already won the election, and they started the big foreign policy sabotage operation, right. seeding documents, opening up access to documents across agencies so that it was cross-filtered, and which is why we have so many of these anonymous deep state officials popping out of the woodwork, leaking stuff all over the place. Yeah. You know, they laid a minefield.
Yeah. Expelling Russian diplomats, seizing diplomatic properties, bombing Syrian armed forces, kinds of stuff. Remember all of it.
Yeah, well, the FBI evidently paid this – Obama's FBI paid this spook who collected this opposition research on a then-presidential candidate, soon to be, you know, the president himself. The FBI paid for it. Right. They paid for this.
Yeah, right. Yep.
I don't know – I mean – I know we all know the CIA usually does these sorts of things, but right. I talked to a former CIA agent turned critic the other night, and he says it is absolutely not FBI procedure to pay for stuff like right. this, or even to be involved really in it at all. They're they are a law. You know, they're involved in enforcing U.S. law, not funding a political opposition research, you know, much less this type of scandal sheet that this was.
You know, it's so interesting in this too.
Christopher Steele supposedly turned down payments,
right?
But he did. They offered to pay him money, put him on salary.
Yep.
But he instead just he accepted. The FBI paid for some of his expenses. I don't know what those are. Bribing people, paying
right.
you know, people for writing these fictions, or you know, or whether he actually has some sources, which seems unlikely. But you know, this is when we know it's not just Clinton, not just the DNC, but the FBI that was paying this. You know, this raises all kind of questions.
Yeah, this is what gets me, because
political
you've got
propriety.
Watergate. Let's go to Watergate.
Conflict of interest.
Let's go to Watergate, because what Nixon was accused of, the crime was the break into a hotel, okay, physical break in, and then in terms of the cover-up and the things that were exposed, using the FBI to spy on this one, that one, or whatever. Here you have an affirmative record. Here's some checks paying these guys to do this, an active involvement of the FBI in the campaign, and then after the guy's elected to try to sink the president, and then after he takes office, it makes Watergate look like, you know, like a picnic.
And we have to remember that, you know, despite the initial opprobrium and mockery that was unleashed on Trump when he, you know, tweeted ridiculously about so many things, it's perhaps easy to understand. But when he tweeted about Trump Tower being bugged, and then it has since emerged that Paul Manafort, you know, his former campaign manager, who has an apartment in Trump Towers and was working with him, was himself bugged you know, against his knowledge by the Obama's FBI. You know, this is again spying on political campaigns, and they still don't have any evidence of any real Russian collusion after all of that, after all of these months of investigation. This Mueller investigation is going off in all kinds of weird tangents because they haven't been able to find anything. So they're now investigating Paul Manafort's tax returns and his financial dealings going back a decade. The conclusion of this, of course, the FBI investigation will have to come. So there'll be some kind of criminal charges filed as a result of all of this. But what it is likely that it will be is that it will be obstruction of justice or tax evasion or Manafort not listing as under the Foreign Agent Registration Act when he was working for the Ukrainian government, you know, the overthrown Ukrainian government there. So
didn't declare some income that he took in Kiev or whatever.
There's not going to be any smoking gun, not any charges filed against Trump or even anyone, you know, on close to him on anything that actually matters or to do with the election per se. But that is how it will conclude, and it will leave no one satisfied on any side because it won't be any type of proof of what the Democrats and this quote so-called resistance is looking for. There won't be any definitive, you know, resolution there. Trump isn't going to be impeached because of this investigation, though his presidency is not going to be removed because of it. And it doesn't even seem likely that they'll effectively be able to scalp anyone near him, except possibly for Manafort, and then again, not on anything actually to do with the election. And the way this investigation is branching off into areas that it should have nothing to do with at this point shows the impunity that Mueller is operating under because of this climate of political fear and hysteria. Trump can't, you know, have the Justice Department rein him in. They're off doing their own thing, and they're going off into all kind of weird tangents, having failed to find anything, you know, of what they were supposedly starting to look for to begin with.
Yep. I mean, look, let's say I'm hostile politically to the president and I'm the director of the FBI. And so I commence, you know, an investigation that he's got some secret deal going with the Martians or whatever, however absurd it is. Okay. As long as that investigation goes on, his attempt to make me stop, even if it's ridiculous, can be construed and even prosecuted as obstruction of justice. And certainly, as long as I'm following that track, I can do whatever I want, basically. In other words, it's like the FBI, if the FBI director is hostile to the president, they can treat him as badly as they can treat any other citizen, which, of course, the history of it shows that's pretty bad.
Yeah. I mean, it has to be remembered during this Monica Lewinsky scandal investigations and the censoring of Bill Clinton, what he was actually censored on was obstruction of justice.
Censured, you know, not, yes. Let's get that clear. Yeah, censured, yes. Yeah, right. Obstruction of justice, right.
Yeah. So for the same, that's where this will end up. Now, this branching off the investigation parallels the branching off of the whole Russian meddling collusion story to begin with, where now it has devolved into Facebook ads and Facebook and social media ads by Russian media, and supposedly by they're affiliating advertisements from Black Lives Matter groups and everything that they're trying to tie to some Russian. They talked about Russian linked to some company that may or may not exist in Russia, that may or not have any connection with the Russian government. And these ads that they're talking about, half of them didn't air
at all
until after the election. 25% of them were never shown. These ads that they supposedly say are Russian linked, some of them have to do with dog lovers groups promoting puppies. I mean, I know Putin loves dogs, but I don't think he seriously has to promote that. Black Lives Matter, all those things. Supposedly now that the charges are not that these social media ads were to influence the election per se, particularly as some of them actually promoted Clinton.
Right, that's right.
Which kind of suits their accusations. Now it's that they were meant to sow division
in the American
and
public.
Chaos.
Right. That's right.
Because there is no differences in American people. You know, we don't have anything that divides us without the Russians exacerbating us. Right. And you know, you can clearly see that with the dog lovers ads, because you know, I'm a dog lover. And, you know, this was clearly meant by the Russians to incite my hatred of cat lovers.
Yeah, of course. Mine too. Yep. It's like that, like cats and dogs. You know, not for nothing, there's a historical, precedent for this too. When, you know, the big bad Russians were being investigated by the original McCarthy 1.0, of course, the civil rights movement, which was the result of a few hundred years of slavery and then 100-some-odd years of Jim Crow, had nothing to do with the legitimate complaints that came from that, from people getting strung up and beaten down and everything else. Rather, the Russians made these folks angry. They were outside agitators and stuff like that.
Yeah, the FBI was principally involved in smearing the civil rights movement, many of its leaders as communists and so on, with all kinds of personal slander as well. So, you know, we've seen this neo-McCarthyite playbook before, and we've seen it as recently as the 1960s.
Yep.
Russian resurfaced dudes. Now.
Yep.
But, you know, we've just had the story out of a Abrams aide. It was Congresswoman
down in Atlanta. Right. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, one of her aides simply gave an interview to Sputnik. Gave two before he started working with her, and one since, where he discussed, the Democratic strategies for beating Trump. I mean, he gave it to Sputnik America.
The Eugene Puryear. He was speaking with Eugene Puryear from the PSL, who's as American as apple pie.
Yeah, he's an African American, you know.
It's a Washington, D.C. radio station.
African rights activist. Right. Yep. I mean, he's a... You can't ask for, you know, again, to attack what he's doing as Russian propaganda. You know, it's ridiculous. I saw someone on a Twitter posted the other day, that just made me laugh. They didn't even know they were black until a Russian linked Facebook ad told them that they were black.
We got to leave it there. It gets funnier and funnier, and it's also, of course, getting a little scary as things they're going to start doing 24-hour service of B-52 bombers and stuff again. Next week we have a chance to analyze all of that and everything that's going to happen.
We now know that Twitter is a fully armed, fully owned subsidiary of the U.S. government.
Absolutely.
Because Russian media is banned from buying ads on Twitter. Not Israeli, not Saudi, not U.S. government, but Russian media is banned from ads that they approached RT to make.
and we'll get to that too, Mark. Thank you very much.
We'll get to that another time. Thanks for having me, Don.
Thank you, man. Bye.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.